You're listening to 3 Mob Radio.
The following recording has some audio issues. Do not adjust your sound.
Hi, this is 3 Mob Radio. The name is Ladi Kwidirai. And of course, I always love the theatre. And getting to talk to one of my friends is always one of the things I enjoy doing. Now, Frank, my lover, you will know, is an actor, playwright, and a published poet. He's from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. So I'll introduce that to him. That's where I come from. And currently resides in Cape Town, South Africa. He's currently doing French TV commercials. And also a translation and subtitling 9 African languages into English for television. When I look at that, I also wonder, does he have time to actually go to the toilet? Because that seems like a lot of work. A movie is coming up this year, and this play that is called Art of Facing Fear. Now, spoiler alert, it's essentially dystopian, and I have many things that I've got to ask Frank. And I love dystopian as a thing. It's just for me, and my friends can attest to that. If you talk about H.G. Wells and all those other people, I don't want to spoil it too much, so I haven't gone into the play itself. So I have Frank to tell us about the innovation around this presentation. First of all, Frank, welcome.
Hello, how are you, Larry?
Yeah, you're crisp.
It's good to talk to you today.
It's good to talk to you. Now, this is theatre done differently. Tell me how.
So usually when we talk theatre, we're talking about a stage, we're talking lights, we're talking an audience, we're talking about the wings, and actors coming on and off stage and backstage. You know, all of that makes theater, right? So, this is different in the sense that we actually are all in our own individual homes on 3 different continents. And performing in one play, and the director sitting in Brazil. You've got actors from me from Zimbabwe, a few from South Africa, some from Senegal, Nigeria, Sweden, United Kingdom, Brazil, and Cape Verde. So that's like all the different countries represented here. And we're all friends that are living in this new world, as it were, 5,555 days into lockdown.
So, the only person who's having a good time this year is the Rona, okay? But I'm going to say this. COVID-19 has sparked some amazing innovations, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's got all of us suddenly baking cakes and thinking we're dancers. If you've seen me on Facebook, I'm suddenly singing stuff. I don't think I particularly have an exciting voice, but I'm loving it. I'm enjoying exploring that side of myself.
You've got the pipes. Even the way you say, I mean, like, actors generally can project very well and speak very well, so that should translate.
Well, there's that, but you know, it's we're doing things that we never thought we would have the guts to do. So if Corona hadn't happened, I wouldn't have baked muffins. I wouldn't have started eating healthier or started singing for fun. So there's a lot that's, you know, that it's done for us. And one of those things is teaching us to learn things anew. So I'm learning how to act for a tiny little camera screen on my phone, which I have to tell you is different from acting for a movie camera or a television camera or for an actual audience. And so how does this become theater? Mm-hmm. Right? It becomes theater because it's... even though you're doing it for a lens, the concepts and the style is essentially theater. Because, and now, I don't want to spoil it for a lot of people, but when you think, oh, it's a play, it's going to be on Zoom, they're probably just going to be sitting there and just talking, you're mistaken. It's got a soundtrack, it's got special effects. It's got, amazing, amazing concepts. It's doing things that you never thought you could do with Zoom. So, for me, my character, essentially, I'm only working with my face. You don't see most parts of my body, but that's where the work is. So it's now theater of the face in my case. And we've got dancers in this show. The guy from Senegal is amazing, Diallo. He is an amazing dancer, so you get to see a whole lot more of him. But we all represent different things and different fears that people have. So my character is actually not in Cape Town. He actually is in Zimbabwe.
In Bulawayo or somewhere else?
He's in Bulawayo. I chose for him to be in Bulawayo. But he doesn't necessarily speak Isindebele because he speaks Isindebele in some parts, but he mostly speaks Shona because Isindebele is basically a dialect of isiZulu here in South Africa. So
yeah.
when I say certain lines, and the Zulu person and the Xhosa person and the Swati person says them, it sounds like we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So we had to come up with a way of me sounding like I'm not in South Africa.
So how was working on your Shona? Because I find it difficult. Like if I spend a lot of time without having a lot of people to talk. In fact, do you have a lot of people to practice Shona with there?
I do not. Saka ndirukuta orandega, ndirukuta orandirindega, kumba kwangu nekutindono garandirindega.
My way.
That's my Shona.
But I mean, you've taken me further, and I'm glad you did. When this came along, I want to go to the moment when the director and who is it that approached you first of all for this, and then when you were told about the lack of stages aspect of it, were you like, oh goodness me, I'm not going to do this? No bloody way, I'm going to do this. Fuck me.
You know me too well. So. Many years ago, when I was still in Zimbabwe, I met this amazing woman, Napo Mashiane. Napo is an amazing poet. She used to be part of a group of poets, you know, your Lebo Mashiles, and I'm trying to remember all the other names, but Lebo being also a friend of mine, she came to mind. But Napo was part of that group. It was a group called Fila Sista.
Yeah,
and Fila Sista was this group of these powerful women.
Oh,
and
I remember that.
Anyway, she was at Haifa, and she was sitting in the lobby, or should I say, in the foyer of the hotel, and she'd broken a statue, and and I could see she was distraught, and so I was on the phone, and I was speaking to one of my Xhosa friends, a Zimbabwean Xhosa woman. We're speaking in Xhosa, and she thought I was South African. We started talking, and she's like, oh, you're not from South Africa? No, I'm Zimbabwe. Oh, and then the conversation started. And we built a friendship. I helped her find somebody to fix her statue. End of story. And then I moved to South Africa in 2008, and she's one of the people I connect with, and she's casting for a play. We workshopped it, and I was in the play. She gave me my first job in South Africa. And so we worked well together, and so she then has worked with Rodolfo, who is the gentleman that's directing, amazing director from Brazil, he's a genius, who started talking to her and asking her to gather a team of people that she knows on the continent or in the surrounding countries, and my name came up. And so she called me quite hesitantly because she didn't know how to sell a play on Zoom to me. Because, when you hear Zoom and you hear a play, you're like, oh God, this is going to be painful. So she tried to explain it as best as she could. And she said, come, have a look and see if you like it. You know, just see if it's something for you. And I said, I like the thought of it. I like something different. And I'm always excited to get thrown in the deep end. I do that when I get a character. I learn a new language. I learned this Xhosa on the set of Amakorokoza, by the way.
There we go.
But it's like I get pushed and I learn something new. And that's the joy of acting, right? You learn things as you go to better yourself. And so I thought, I'm going to try it. If I don't like it, I'll be honest. we started our read through, and it wasn't really like a traditional read through, as you know, because we weren't handed any actual scripts. So we pretty much worked with a bit of text that's there, that's written for the previous version. We are the second group to perform this play. It was first performed by Brazilian cast and crew. So it's been done before. It was a success. People were crying. People were laughing and crying in Brazil, in Portuguese. And so now we've got the English and, English version.
I'm just
trying
to figure out something that you said. People are laughing and crying in Portuguese. I was like,
Respira fundo! Respira fundo!
Oh, there you go. Carry on.
I go through that process. So first of all, I'm astounded that I don't have a script in my hand. How am I going to perform this thing? And so I pretty much sit there and I'm skeptical the first 5 minutes, and they start to bring out the characters, and I'm just sitting there with my mouth gaping open. Like, I didn't know these things were possible. I didn't know you could work with a tiny little camera and a tiny little cell phone screen or laptop screen and produce such beautiful quality work. Mm. And so I was sold. I got the text, I think, 3 days into rehearsals that I actually speak. And the rest of it, we work with improv, as well as the text that's been translated from the Brazilian Portuguese. So now let's talk about the world that it's set in. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's set in a world where you recognize it. You recognize that we are on planet Earth. But there's something so weird about this place. The lighting is very awkward. Because a lot of things... Because people are dying of COVID-19 and governments are taking over. And it's now every man for himself. There's a lot going on with lighting. There's a lot going on with dictatorship. There's a lot going on with rationing of food. There's a lot going on, so everything is specific to the area that it's in, and what unites us is this bug that's brought us all, you know, together. It's a different world, and I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people. What unites those people is a virus as well as the fear. They're driven by the fear of what might happen. So they're terrified of living because of what might happen. So I don't want to give away too much, but that's kind of. So if you imagine yourself sitting at home and lockdown hasn't ended and it's more than 10 years, what's going on there, you know? What kind of world is that? So that's kind of where we are, and that's where our mindsets are when we get into this work.
Well, I can tell you that I can hardly imagine 5 days from now. All I know I'm certain is that I'll still be on curfews. That's all I know.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, my character actually is quite close to what I experienced in 2008 in Zimbabwe.
Oh, is this, and, I was going to say, did you draw any inspiration from Zimbabwe? That was going to be my next question.
I did. And it's funny because nobody knew me except for Napo in that whole setup. So when Rodolfo, the director, assigned me a character, he didn't know anything about me. But this character, I swear, could easily be in Zimbabwe 2008. Those violent elections that happened, pre-elections that happened. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of environment for him. And add, you know, the compounding effect of COVID and the fear that he already has, and you've got all this other stuff happening around him. So he's kind of like in this tight, tough world, man.
Cool.
So it's been hard. It's been hard revisiting those, because I lived it. It's been hard revisiting those emotions. And I remember I did a one-on-one with the director. So part of the process is, he has a one-on-one with you, and he directs you, and he works with your lighting. So that came up, and I said to him, this is too close to home. Because if you know, I mean, you've acted before. As an actor, yeah. It's not advised to work with real things that you've experienced.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Because that creates trauma. But the good thing about this is, as much as it's close to what happened in Zimbabwe, it's also far removed because I know I'm in a different world on the planet altogether. So I draw myself, from certain redemptive qualities of what I can bring out of that situation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And bring it into this character without actually affecting my person. Because the technique that I use when I work doesn't allow me to be in my own head. I'm reacting all the time, so that's the kind of technique I work with. So I don't actually go into my head, because once you get into your head, you're in trouble.
I could go on and talk about this until the cows come home. But I do want to say, I mean, your relationship with Zimbabwe comes up quite, what I was going to ask here is that you dutifully represent Zimbabwe in this series. And of course, the background of it is that you meeting Napo comes from when it wasn't cool to break statues back then. Now it's a cool thing. But even though, your relationship with Zimbabwe is sometimes awkward, that isn't necessarily kind to you. What makes you continue saying that, no, I want Zimbabwe to be on the map? Because some of the things you've gone through, for some people, it'd be easy for them to say, okay, just cast me as somebody from South Africa.
I'm just going to be a South African. Yeah. The one thing is we don't choose where we're born. I often find myself thinking that I was that 16-year-old kid who didn't have a lot of hope. I was on stage by the time I was 16 and working, and never thought I'd be working with international directors or meeting people in this kind of work. I never thought anything would go beyond Wilaya Theatre or Amakosi Theatre, which, are the two places that really nurtured my talent. I often find myself thinking there's another Frank back there. He might not necessarily be gay,
yeah,
which I was and still am, but there are a lot of things, there are a lot of threads that come with being in that environment where you're told a lot of lies and you end up believing them. I grew up believing that I was less than a heterosexual person, or that Gukurahundi deserved to happen. People actually believed that sort of stuff, and that people who were killed deserved to be killed, and all that. So you've got all these things that you grow up as a child experiencing and feeling and internalizing and feeling, oh, I'm not worthy of anything good coming out for me. And every time I saw, that there was a Danai Gurira out there, every time I saw that there was, a Lutuli out there, every time that I saw that there was a Benu Mabena out there, all these names that would come up, I'd perk up and go, wow, it's possible to break out and be another person. I mean, and be another person that's counted with the rest of the world. Because a lot of times, I can tell you, a lot of people don't have hope when you come from a place that's put down. Mm. And so I stand up first and foremost for kids and, young people and men and women that are from the LGBT community. That's really important for me because for the most part, they don't feel like they exist. And the Constitution doesn't acknowledge them. The Constitution doesn't, doesn't champion their rights, first of all. So I stand up as a Zimbabwean and as a gay Zimbabwean that's achieving things that a lot of people think are unachievable. And so with that, I don't only represent people from the LGBT community. I also represent any Zimbabwean that sees me worthy to look at as a person that's achieving something and holding the flag high. Because after everything, when you strip everything, the colors of the rainbow that I wear, I'm still human, and I'm still Zimbabwean, and I'm still representing people that are marginalized in a lot of ways, especially right now in the world that we live in. So that's why it's important for me to stand up and be counted as a Zimbabwean.
Frank, I certainly acknowledge you as a Zimbabwean and as a personal friend. But as a final question, when is this presentation of this play taking place, and how do people catch it?
So my interview with Frank cut off, unfortunately. But he left us with nuggets as to how you can get tickets. So this is what he had to say.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry. I had a great time talking with you. I wanted to just let people know the easiest way to get tickets is to just go onto Facebook and look for my page, Frank Malaba. So that's F-R-A-N-K space Malaba. And it's a fan page, basically. And I'm going to have the link up there with the poster of the show. The poster is called The Art of Facing Fear. And underneath it will be a link. It's quite a long link, so to say it would be a bit laborious. So it might be easier to just go onto Frank Malaba on Facebook, the page, and just find the poster. It's a beautiful poster, reddish in color, that says The Art of Facing Fear. And beneath it is a link. You click that link and you can get yourself free tickets to watch the show, and you have the option to donate any amount that you would like to put towards this project, because it's the first project of its kind, and it would be great to have some support from your listeners and for a lot of people to come and see how new theater works in this new world. I'm very excited and I think it's going to go far. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great one. Take care.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
Yes, that's Zimbabwean actor Frank Malaba, based out in Cape Town. Make sure you do check out that particular production. My name is Larry Quidirai, and of course, make sure that you catch on Iona FM all the stuff that's happening with 3 Mob Radio on Twitter at 3 Men on a Boat, and Facebook, facebook.com/3menonaboat, on Instagram, 3mob.com, and just look for 3-mob.com on YouTube to see what we're up to there. Larry Quidirai, I'm out.
This is a 3 Mob Radio production. www.3-mob.com